record. We're here in the matter of docket number 15-035-03 in the matter of the application of Rocky Mountain Power to decrease the deferred EBA rate through the energy balancing account mechanism. And we're here today to consider the stipulation that was filed on September 29th. We'll start with appearances. So first for Rocky Mountain Power.
Good morning, Yvonne Hogle on behalf of Rocky Mountain Power. And with me here today is Mr. Brian Dickman, Director of the Power Cost, who will be supporting the settlement stipulation.
Thank you. The division.
And I'm Justin Jetter, representing the Utah Division of Public Utilities. And with me at council table is Matthew Croft with the division.
Thank you. For the office.
I'm Rex Holson, representing the Office of Consumer Services. And with me today is Danny Martinez from the office.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Evans.
I'm William Evans for the Utah Industrial Energy Consumers. We've not sponsored a witness in this proceeding, but we have signed on to the stipulation, so I'm here to support that this morning.
Okay. Thank you. Any other preliminary matters?
So. Yes. Thank you, Your Honor. would it make sense for us to, for me to move for the admission of all pre-filed testimony and response testimony with the exception of Mr. Brian Dickmans, whom I will call as a witness?
I'm happy to ask all the other parties if they think that makes sense too. Are you making that motion?
I am, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Any concerns with the motion?
No, from the division, we think that that would be an efficient way to do it.
Okay.
We have no objection to that.
We have no objection, but would ask also that you include the comments filed by the Utah Industrial Energy Consumers who did not specifically file testimony.
Okay. Any objection to that addition?
No comment.
Or clarification?
No.
Okay. All of the testimony and comments will be entered into evidence. Thank you. Any other preliminary matters?
That's all. Thank you,
Mayor. Let me just ask the parties, is there any desire to ask cross-examination questions of the parties from anyone?
We will have none.
None from the division.
Okay.
We don't expect to have any.
Okay. Well, why don't we just present all witnesses, and then we'll have possibly some questions from the three of us, but we'll go through all the witnesses first before we do that. So we'll start with Rocky Mountain Power.
Thank you. The company calls Mr. Brian Dickman.
Thank you. Oh, you can feel free to stay at your seat there if you'd like for this debate. Do you swear to tell the truth, Mr. Dickman?
Yes.
Thank you.
Can you please state your name, position, and address for the record?
Yes, my name is Brian Dickman. I'm employed by the company as Director of Net Power Cost and Load Forecasting. And my business address is 825 Northeast Multnomah Street, Suite 600, Portland, Oregon, 97232.
Mr. Dickman, your pre-filed testimony was just admitted into the record. And I just want to make sure that you don't have any changes to that you would like to make here today.
No, I do not.
And what is the purpose of your testimony today?
Today, I would like to briefly review the history of events leading up to the stipulation and the key elements of the stipulation entered into by four signing parties, including Rocky Mountain Power, the Utah Division of Public Utilities, the Utah Office of Consumer Services, and Utah Industrial Energy Consumers. I'm also here to testify in support of the stipulation and recommend its approval to the commission.
Please proceed with the history that led to the stipulation.
Thanks. On March 16th, 2015, Rocky Mountain Power filed to recover $30.9 million in deferred EBA costs, comprised of $30.5 million in deferred costs for calendar year 2014, plus approximately $400,000, representing an estimate of residual balances from deferrals from prior EBA dockets. On July 15, 2015, the division filed its EBA audit report and supporting direct testimony. And on July 30th, the division also filed supplemental direct testimony. On August 18th, the office filed its direct testimony and UIEC filed its comments. Rocky Mountain Power also filed testimony in response to the division's audit report. In addition to the filing requirement responses included with our application, the company filed testimony from three witnesses, responded to over 250 data requests, some with multiple subparts, as the intervening parties prepared their responses to the company's case. In addition, the company, the division, and their consultants held numerous conference calls to discuss data requests, company operations, and various transactions during the deferral period. The conference calls were very effective and improved the communication channels between the company and the division as they investigated the EBA costs included in our request. Prior to entering into settlement discussions, a substantial review or substantial amount of evidence and discovery in this case was filed, reviewed, and analyzed. The parties held settlement discussions on September 10, 2015, and based on those discussions, the parties agreed to the terms and conditions set forth in the stipulation, which was filed with the Commission September 30. While not all intervening parties signed the stipulation, no party opposes the stipulation.
Please describe the key terms of the stipulation, then.
I assume that the Commission has read the stipulation, so I'll try to describe it in brief terms. In doing so, I do not intend to modify any of the terms of the stipulation. So if I misspeak, the language of the stipulation, not my words, is the binding agreement. The parties agreed to the following. The parties agreed that the company's request to recover $30.4 million in deferred EBA for 2014 would be reduced by an unspecified adjustment of $500,000. Resolving all of the issues raised in the case. The parties also acknowledged that the company will continue to collect the residual balances from prior year's EBA dockets, which is currently estimated to be approximately $500,000. The parties agreed that the company will make a compliance filing by October 20th, 2015, to provide the final amount that would be reflected in rates beginning November 1st, 2015, after accounting for the $500,000 adjustment and the final residual balance from the past EBA dockets. The parties agreed to the spread and rate design described in the direct testimony of Ms. Joelle Stewart filed with the company's application. So compared to currently effective rates, the stipulation results in an overall decrease for customers of approximately 0.7%. The parties agreed that the stipulation does not resolve any specific issues in a precedential manner, except items expressly called out in the stipulation. The parties agreed that with respect to the company's participation in the energy imbalance market with the California Independent System Operator, that the stipulation does not resolve the types of expenses or revenues that should be included in net power costs or the EBA or the prudency of EIM costs. The remaining paragraphs of the stipulation contain general terms which are associated with most stipulations. As with most stipulations, this agreement was reached through negotiation and compromise.
Mr. Dagman, do you have any final comments that you would like to make?
Yes. I wish to thank the parties involved in the case for working together to reach this agreement, and want an agreement that works for all parties. The company appreciates the thorough review, including an audit report from the division that acknowledged the considerable effort made by the company and the division and their auditors that resulted in a transparent and collaborative review process. The company appreciates the positive working relationship with all the parties that resulted in an efficient resolution of the issues raised in this case. I restate the company's support for the stipulation, and I believe it is in the public interest. I recommend that the Commission approve the stipulation in this file. Thank you.
Thank you.
Nothing else from you?
Nothing else.
Thank you. Mr. Jeter.
The division would like to call its witness, Matthew Croft, and have him sworn in.
Mr. Croft, do you swear to tell the truth?
Yes. Thank you. Could you please state your name, occupation, and place of business address for the record?
Yes. My name is Matthew Croft. I'm a utility technical consultant for the Division of Public Utilities. My business address is 160 East 300 South, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84111.
Thank you. Did you prepare a brief statement that you'd like to read into the record today?
Yes, I have.
Please go ahead.
Good morning, Commissioners, and thank you for the opportunity to express the Division's full support of the stipulation signed by the parties in this docket. The Division believes the stipulation, including the agreed-upon recovery of $30.0 million, as well as the recovery of the additional $0.5 million estimate of residual EBA balances, is just and reasonable and in the public interest. Mr. Dickman has already discussed the history and the details of the stipulation, and so I would like to just make a few comments about the agreed upon number and the improvements that the companies made in the EBA audit process. Although the component or components making up the $500,000 adjustment are unspecified, the division's testimony in this case raised several issues with regards to plant outages. These issues led to approximately $390,000 in proposed adjustments to Utah's EBA deferral balance. While the specifics of the outage adjustments are not discussed in the stipulation, the division believes that the overall agreed upon adjustment of $500,000 is appropriate and in the public interest. In the previous EBA audit, the division raised several issues with regards to the EBA audit process, particularly as it related to data request responses, additional trading reports previously unknown to the division, and other issues. As a result, the company made several commitments to improve the audit process. The division believes the company has met and is continuing to meet those agreed upon commitments, and believes the audit process for the current EBA docket was significantly improved. During the current EBA audit, there were many telephone conferences with the company, as has already been mentioned. These phone conferences have been very valuable to the division and to its consultant in understanding the trading practices and the daily operations of the company. We appreciate the company's willingness to hold these conference calls. In conclusion, the division is in full support of the company recovering the stipulated $30.0 million EBA deferral balance for calendar year 2014, as well as the estimated $0.5 million recovery for previously deferred EBA balances. In doing so, the division recognizes that this estimate will be updated when the company makes a compliance filing no later than October 20th, 2015. The division supports the rate spread indicated in the stipulation and recommends that these new rates be established November 1st, 2015. That concludes my summary.
Thank you. I have no further questions.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The office would like to call Danny Martinez and ask that he be sworn.
Mr. Martinez, do you swear to tell the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Martinez, could you, for the record, state your name and position and where you work?
Sure. My name is Danny Martinez. I work for the Office of Consumer Services as a utility analyst. My business address is 160 East 300 South, Salt Lake City, Utah, Cape 4111.
Did you participate in the review of this docket?
Yes.
Do you have a statement you'd like to give to the commission?
I do.
Please proceed.
Thank you. Good morning, commissioners. The office participated fully in this docket with two witnesses, myself and Mr. Phil Hayette of Kennedy & Associates. In its investigation, the office reviewed the company's application, the division's audit report, and all supporting information and additional testimony. We also submitted data requests and reviewed the responses of all data requests filed by all parties. Finally, the office participated in the negotiations, which resulted in the settlement stipulation being discussed today. Based on our review and analysis, the office concludes that the stipulation proposed today results in just and reasonable rates and is in the public interest.
Do you have anything further?
No.
We submit that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Evans, do you have anything beyond your statement you made before?
We have filed comments, I think, that set out our position. It was exclusively related to the treatment of energy imbalance market revenues and expenses, which we think have been fairly treated in the stipulation. To be clear, even though there are EIM-related revenues and expenses during the last 2 months of 2014, the stipulation, I believe, is, and the parties can correct if they have a different view, is intended to preserve the rights of any party to thoroughly vet EIM revenues and expenses, whether they should be included in net power costs and whether they are prudent in future proceedings. In the 2014 general rate case, the commission issued an order about the treatment of those costs and said that they would be recoverable after a look in the next GRC. We expect that they will be fully vetted at that time. And so for that reason, we were able to sign on and support the stipulation. We believe that with that consideration, it results in just and reasonable rates and should be accepted.
Thank you.
Commissioner Clark, do you have any questions for anyone?
Thank you. Is this on? Is this on?
Yes.
Can you hear me? I have a couple of questions. The first relates to a couple of numbers in paragraph 3 that I just want to understand a little better. Regarding the residual balances that are going to be recovered, residual balances from EBA deferral amounts, third line from the bottom of paragraph 3, that's referred to 0.5 million, and then the value seems to be 400,000 earlier in the paragraph. Are those the same values, and is one a typographical error, or can one of the witnesses reconcile that for me?
Sure, I can address that, Commissioner. At the time that we filed our application in March, the sum total of our request was $30.9 million, $30.5 million for the 2014 costs, and $400,000 of residual balance. Mm-hmm. The residual balance is the costs that were previously approved that we've been collecting, it will continue to be collected through October. So that was an estimate.
So the value changed between application and...
That's right. So at the time of the stipulation, we updated it, and it was about $500,000.
Okay. Thank you. That's helpful. And then just some questions regarding the mechanics of the compliance filing that's referred to in paragraph 4 that you intend to make on October 20th, 2015. Is that filing going to be made by the applicant, or is it a joint filing of the stipulating parties? Have you talked about that at all? And the direction of my questions is just to, we don't have tariffs filed with the stipulation. I'd like to assure that there's going to be a process that will be adequate so that all the parties are comfortable with what's filed as in conformance with the stipulation, and that can all be accomplished by November 1st. So that's basically the bottom line of my questions about this paragraph.
Commissioner, I would anticipate that it would be a filing made by the company. We have not discussed that specifically with the other parties. But I believe that is what we would envision, and we certainly are open to whatever process is needed to ensure that the others can review that filing.
Mr. Jetter?
And I think that reflects our understanding of what we anticipated happening would be the company filing, the compliance filing, and then at least the division would review it on a fairly expedited schedule to make a review to ensure that it is what we expect it to be and the numbers are calculated accurately.
And if the filing's made on October 20th, the division will have time to do that?
Yes.
And would the scope of the filing include work papers, billing determinant exhibits, those kinds of things, so that the division would have everything necessary to make an appropriate review?
Yes, certainly.
Anything from the office on this subject?
We would similarly feel we'd have an opportunity to review it.
Thanks. That concludes my questions.
Thank you. Commissioner White?
Yeah, just a couple of questions. This is really a follow-up question to Mr. Dickman, just related to the EIM. Related provisions of the stipulation, the original revision to Schedule 94 includes sub-accounts related to EIM. I mean, understanding we don't have the revisions reflect the stipulation now, will the revisions filed on October 20th, I'm assuming that those will not include the sub-accounts that were listed in the revisions that were originally filed?
That's a good question. We can make that, we can do it that way. I think we can do it either way. Again, since the $500,000 is an unspecified adjustment, the makeup of the net power costs does still include those EIM costs. There's a number of those accounts. The specific EIM amount that was questioned by the office in their testimony is one of many. There's one small bit of those costs that was characterized as potentially being operations and maintenance expense, which was called out in the general rate case stipulation. But I also recognize that the stipulation does state, and we agree that in future EBAs, we are not determining the proper treatment of those EIM, any of the EIM costs and benefits in future EBAs. So I guess I could go either way. Yes, we could submit a tariff schedule that does not have those, that is pending further review in the future.
And I certainly don't want to delve into the confidential puts and takes of the settlement, but I guess I'm trying to understand, is it, again, harkening back to Mr. Evans' question, is it the first time for any type of prudence review for any type of...
Any type of what review?
Any type of prudence review for EIM-related expenses. Will that be, I'm assuming, the next rate case? I guess I'm just trying to figure out, are we approving, if we approve the settlement, will there be EIM-related costs that are included?
Sorry, can you just repeat your last question?
Yeah, I guess the simple question is, and again, I don't mean to, are we going to be approving, if we approve the stipulation, any EIM-related expenses, costs, et cetera, or is it all going to be ultimate prudence review will be occurred in the next rate case?
Could we go off the record for just a moment?
Yes, we'll take a brief recess.
Okay.